Yeah, we're going old school today. That's all there is to that. It's the news, according to me. It's Wednesday. Hump day. Middle of the day. Middle of the week. Middle of the day. Middle of whatever it is. Oh, I was up late last night. Hey, it's Wednesday, May 27th, 7:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Getting a little bit of an early start. However, I'm later than I wanted to be to get this thing rolling. I don't know what happened overnight. There was probably the cat was in here doing something. I don't know what he was doing. I know he was prowling around here. So it was around midnight when I ended up going to bed. I think I just need to work on one thing at a time. Work on it till it's done, and then just see. It's just not who I am. I can't do that. Sorry, I'm not that way. I just can't do it. I've been up late nights, up early mornings. I have an easier time. If I stay up late at night, I have an easier time getting up early than if I get up early and try to stay up late. Does that make any sense? I don't know if it makes sense. If tomorrow morning I got to get up like 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to get out of here. And the problem is I'll probably be up late tonight. That works fine. But then tomorrow when I have to stay up until midnight, life will not be easy for me. Let's just put it that way. I'm going to end up Friday morning. Tomorrow's show is going to be probably non-existent. I'm probably going to have a show on Friday. I will be in central Wisconsin or Wausau, Wisconsin. It might be a little bit late getting out there. Today's show is not live, by the way. Normally, Wednesday's show is live. Not really any way to do that this morning. I wasn't working on it last night. I wasn't getting it there. I possibly might have some audio for us to listen to here this morning. I don't know. There were some things I was going to play. So I'm not sure what the background noise is here. There's some interesting things have been going on. Time to just possibly play some audio or whatever we're going to do today on today's show. But Friday's show, I don't know what's going to happen on Friday's show. Well, who knows what's going to happen on any show for that matter. You never know. In the meantime, I got chai here. I've got some chai with coconut cream creamer in it. That's a pretty boring part of the show. Ouch, it's hot. Because it's supposed to be hot. It's a hot chai. Then I've got some sweet peach tea right here in my... And it just keeps getting better. That's some good tea right there. That was a little bit watered down. I had too much ice in there. There we go. That was better. That was a little better. I sipped off the top there where all the water was. All right, folks. We got a lot of things to get into today. It's going to be an old school show. No AI agents today. Nothing to listen to from the AI people. It's just going to be me talking through the microphone here. My brain to yours. That should be one of my little taglines. From my brain to yours. It's the news, according to me. I don't know what it's like yet. Anyway, I'll forget about that before tomorrow. Before the next show. Anyway. Where was I? All right, I got another one of these little ditties I'm gonna play because it's so much fun. Where is it at here? I've been making these little songs. I can't remember which ones I think I do know which ones I played. I think I had it on here somewhere. See, podcast files, sound bites, and there it is. Okay, we got this should be, yeah, okay, good. No, God, I'm going to play this one. This was one of the first ones I made, and I think it's pretty, well, it's fun. It's kind of like the other ones were, but it's they're all kind of similar. Some of them have the same words to them. There's three or four different words to some of these, but
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair. lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth, entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official like, and sure I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright, but when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll enter it.
He's supposed to be entertained. Yeah, there we go. That's my disclaimer for the morning. Everything else that comes out of my mouth is for pure entertainment. It's not to be taken seriously, unless it is. I have where do I even begin with some of this stuff? Megan, there's a whole lot of weird stuff going on. I think I talked a little bit about this whole thing between. Did I talk about Hunter Biden? I don't know if I talked about this thing where Hunter Biden has been on the Sean Ryan show. He's also been on Candace Owens recently. He's on a tour, and it is an attempt to try to play the victim in all the stuff that he's done. And to blame to. There's this weird personality thing. It is a personality thing. Where a person will try to obfuscate all their responsibility. They just try to shove it off onto someone else or something else. In this case, they're blaming the, you know, he tries to play the victim. I wish I could just play certain clips of this audio because it is very bizarre. And the way he's gaslighting right in front of your eyes. It happens right before your very eyes. It's if you watch the Candace Owens interview with Hunter Biden, I would recommend that you don't unless you really are interested in this kind of thing. It's very bizarre. He sits there and he doesn't make connections on all the things he said. He'll say one thing, get Candace going down a certain, and she's kind of starstruck by this guy. You can almost see it in her eyes. At the end, she ends up apologizing to him for the things she said about him. And the laugh threat. Now, I think I talked about this the other day, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself. However, there's a principle here I want to get across on this whole thing. The level that some people will go to, because they're more engorged, or they're more engaged with a sense of entertainment and getting clicks and getting and being the it crowd and having the podcast of the hour kind of thing. You get caught up in that. It is very difficult because there's a lot of pressure on these people. They get a million views or whatever they get, or if you don't even get 100,000 views, you got a lot of people that are tuning in. You know, I don't have that problem. Strangely enough, I have. But the reality of it is, you do have an issue there at some point. You have this thing going on where. Well, let me just look at my statistics. I'm sidetracked. What is going on with this? Site cannot be reached. There are a whole lot of things not working this morning on my internet. I think I'm going to have to turn my Wi-Fi off here real quick. I wonder if something happened to my router. because there are things not happening here this morning. That is kind of bizarre. Okay, I just went to that one. Let's see if it works. This is bizarre that I can't, I'm actually not on the internet for some reason. Yeah, the internet's not working. That's not working. I wonder if I try this. I'm just trying to refresh the pages that I've already got up.
You know, I feel like
that one works. I wonder why that one's not working. That is bizarre. My Castos app is not pulling up. We are in very strange territory here. Google Docs is working. That's working fine. That's, huh. Well, I guess I don't know. I guess I won't know what the... there's several pages temporarily down. I think there seems to have been some kind of an attack last night because there's several back-end pages that are down. I know Vercel is down. That's a major supplier to certain web applications, especially on AWS. Maybe AWS is out. I don't know. That's very interesting. For those of us who are building websites and doing that kind of, you know, deploying applications, that's a big deal. Anyway, where was I? These people get enamored by the, and they're under a lot of pressure to produce and to perform, to get the clicks, to have an interesting show, to kind of outwin the competitive edge among content creators, as they call them, on YouTube and everything else. And so they're out there trying to do their thing, and they have to get more outlandish. Now, I think that one of the things that Candace Owens was doing for a while with this whole thing with Brigitte, calling her a man and all this stuff, I don't know. I mean, maybe she is, maybe she's not, maybe it is. I don't know how she was born. I don't know what's going on there. But why do I care? It's one of those things that I just don't. It's a foreign country. It's not our country. They're not my representatives. Now, if your representatives are deceiving you, lying to you, doing all, you know, whatever it is, that's kind of a serious issue. All of a sudden, it got quiet. I don't know what was going on. I thought the fan was running. There was something in the background running, and I don't even know what it was. It must have been the furnace, or the air conditioner. I guess it would be the air conditioner at this point. It's supposed to run all the time. I've got to set to circulate the air in the house. Anyway, it's awfully quiet now. I have, except for my chair squeaking in the background, I got to do something about this. I got something to change with the chair. Anyway, okay, so these people get all caught up in some issues. And she went on for months, I think it was, several weeks anyway. So it was a couple of months, maybe more. It was just on and on with this whole thing about this. It wasn't really a conspiracy. I wouldn't call it a conspiracy, but it was just her talking about how the, you know, Macron's wife was born a man. Now, I don't know. It's bizarre if that's the case, but I don't get it. And then she was talking about Hunter Biden for a long time as well. She was talking about the coke that was found in the White House The only time it's ever happened to that degree is when Hunter was there in the White House. Now, my guess is that there was a lot of, now he supposedly, I was getting tested every week. I was getting tested. I was getting, I had my probationary officer that was testing me every week. And folks, he claims to have been sober since 2019 or some kind of ridiculous thing. Fine, whatever. I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt it. But you have ways of paying people off, folks. I don't know. The flat bottom line is I don't know. All I know is there's possibility. Is it possible that he could have, he could still be on drugs? Yeah, sure it is. It's possible. It's possible to get around that, all that stuff. He's got some major lawsuits, and so I think even some charges against him that are still pending. I'm not sure. I don't know where his case is. I know he was under a lot of scrutiny there for a little while. But again, who cares? I just, why am I talking about it? If nobody cares, why am I talking about it? And that's the thing. I rarely talk about it. But the point that I'm making here is that it's because it's a high profile thing, and there's a whole personality thing I want to talk about with this whole thing. And it's not the way he speaks. It's not the tone of his voice or his vocal tone. It is the very substance of what he says. That's the problem. And if you listen to him carefully, he sounds a lot like his father in his early years. Joe Biden in his early years, when he was, I guess Hunter's only like 56 years old or 57 years old. He's a lot younger than I am. And to hear him speak, now this is, okay, Joe Biden, and I think I brought this up on the show. He went through this whole tirade against this one reporter, news reporter, who was kind of confronting him of being, you know, there were a lot of other candidates in the Democrat field at the time, and so the news media could be picky. When the 2024 election was coming around, they couldn't be quite so picky. They didn't have any other candidates that were worth anything, and here was Joe Biden, who'd already been vice president, saying he was going to run, and of course then didn't. Claiborne ended up making a decision on that one. He basically, supposedly, he was the one who was instrumental in getting Joe Biden into the primary, because it's, you know, it's all about democracy. So one man decides, much like when Kamala ran, and there, you know, there was no primary for her. Just somebody just decided. And this time it wasn't Joe. Joe didn't make that decision because I don't think he didn't want to step down, first of all. A week before, he was vehemently saying he was going to run and he was fine. And then the next thing you know, I'm endorsing Kamala, it's time for someone new. This is all platitudes. You know that somebody in a focus group in a back room was coming up with all the things. This is Joe, this is what you're going to say. You're going to come out and you're going to say this. This was all prepared for him. He wasn't coming out with it. That wasn't what his heart was. His heart wasn't in that. This is the way the Democrat Party operates. And right now, they have this interesting thing going on with this guy who is, he's an out of control. I guess he said some stuff over the weekend about some veterans. I think he's running for governor or representative, I think he's governor of something on the Northeast. I think is it Rhode Island or someplace out there. What is this guy's name? I think I had a picture of him. I had a thumbnail of him here somewhere. Where'd he go? Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. It was on Liberal. It was on Memology 101 is where it was at. It might be here somewhere. So I think I'm just right in the area. I don't see it. It was right here. Oh, it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. This guy got a tattoo it was a Nazi tattoo. It wasn't a swastika. It was something else that these SS would have. They had these tattoos. It was very much a Nazi thing. And he had this tattoo. And of course, he was running for office. And of course, right at that time, he ended up getting it, I think it removed or whatever, getting it changed, whatever he had to do with it. And of course, he ended up, again, just gaslighting the public about, this happened back when I was going through troubled time and all this. This guy's still troubled. And he still hates the country. This is a whole lot of things going on in the whole leftist mentality. But they're out there endorsing this guy, an actual guy who actually had a Nazi tattoo, unlike Donald Trump, who they just call a Nazi all the time because he's, you know, a Nazi fascist, whatever else you can call the guy that's racist. Homophobic, whatever you want to call it, just all the words that are supposed to diminish a person's character and dehumanize them. And that's one of the things that actually Hunter Biden said in his interview. He was, well, I want to make sure I'm, you know, they've dehumanized me. I want to make sure that people know I'm a human being and, you know, make it more personable. That's what he's doing. That's his whole purpose, is trying to schmooze over public perception of himself. He thinks he's the most criticized, most attacked person on the planet. When you hear him say things like that, and again, it's about content of what he's saying. If you just listen to what he's saying, nobody in the history of the country has ever been, you know, more investigated than me, and more persecuted than me, and more, you know, misaligned and all this. Really, nobody, not even Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is still every day in the news, in the news media, constantly trying to find ways to vilify this guy in everything that they say, in every setup that they have of news. But Hunter Biden is the one that has really been wronged. He's the one who's really been persecuted by the news media and the general public and the Republicans and even the people in the establishment, Democrats. Well, how about no? So anyway, with the
what's wrong with you people?
Yeah, the thing that gets me is how so many people follow this kind of stuff. Now, I want to get into something that I don't know if I should. You know what? I'm going to play this first, and then we'll talk about it.
Five, seven, four. But wait, there's more. 6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. Don't be a loser. Please, just call that number. You know, if anybody, I wonder if anybody has tried to call that number or had any problems. See, I wouldn't have any way of knowing. I guess, go ahead and text that number. Let me know if you're having any problems getting through, texting or calling. Because if you do, that means there's problems with the number. I don't know. There might be. I wouldn't know it if there was. I know I get a lot of spam calls. I know there's some other calls in there. But it's yeah. Anyway, so I want to talk about this. This is a weird thing. My wife and I have family. Now I don't have a lot of family on Facebook and social media that I interact with. My brother and sister about it, and they're pretty much in line with my way of thinking. Now I don't think they listen to my podcast. I'm not sure if they even know I have one. But I just don't want to, you know, I don't want them getting, you know, I don't want them feeling uncomfortable with it. Now, I've got some uncles. I've got two uncles, and they've got family that I don't know if they listen to the show or not. They might. They might have listened to it. I'm not sure if they even know. I think they know I've got a podcast, but I don't know if they've ever heard it or not. I don't. If they have, they probably didn't listen very long. But I don't know. Probably not their speed. I know one of them. Again, that's kind of the only ones on my side of the family, and it's now on both my wife and I's side, though, we have family that is, and that they're supposedly very, you know, they're considered to be Christians. I want to talk about this a little bit because it's a subject I need to delve into, and it's not something I was really planning on, but I do want to go down this road because it baffles me. It's perplexing to me. And yet, understanding how religion works, I get it. I do understand it because I know how religion is opposed from a relationship, especially one that's based on truth. If you simply look at the platform of the Democrat Party and then look at the way they enact their policies, the actual policies, not just the things that they are perceived to believe, but the way they actually vote on things. And the faces of the party, the people at the top, the establishment, the elites, on both sides, there's elites on both sides, and I'll get to that. Of course, that's not one of those both sides arguments. That's just, it is true. There are elites and establishment people on both sides, two sides of the same coin. But there are some independents. I would say independent Republicans. Well, there are a few independent Democrats. Not very many, because you can't survive in the party very long that way. And John Fetterman is one of those independents. I have a lot of respect for the guy. I didn't respect him a whole lot in the beginning. I have a lot of respect for him now. It's turned out that as he's gotten his brain back, he actually has come around to say some very down-to-earth, just normal things. And I don't know if that's because he's had a brush with, you know, sometimes a brush with near death like that is kind of a, it does something to you. So anyway, we have family who are very devout Christians. However, they are also devout in their religion. I don't know if any of you have ever read any of Charles Finney's books or Reese Howell, Intercessor, any of those kind of old-time books about some of the revival, personal revival, spiritual revival, societal revival, historical stuff that's happened in the past. There is this overwhelming sense of the holiness of God, and this—it's, I would say—a conviction upon souls that who are living outside of the truth, who are not walking in a relationship with God. They're just doing their own thing, or they're steeped in their religion. Religion will leave a hole in your heart. You think you're filling it because you feel good about something you're going on and on. And life itself starts to wear away at the false. Well, I think that Jesus himself called them whitewashed sepulchers. They're tombs walking around full of dead man's bones, so to speak. Because on the outside they look very presentable, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones. It's a phoniness. It's a religion. It's a self righteousness for one thing, and it's a righteousness that gets paraded around in front of other people to feel good about themselves. And it's not a clothing of the robe that God has provided for us through just the whole covering of that was provided to Adam and Eve at the very beginning. An innocent animal was slain, and they were provided a covering fit for them. It was that was the very essence of the royal robe that we will be wearing that was bought for us from the shedding of His own Son on the cross. That's our righteousness right there. And we didn't earn it. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough to earn it. We can't be good enough to somehow impress God. See, look at all the good things I've done. That's not going to happen. We are selfish beings. And we still need to be clothed with that robe that was paid for on a cross. Now, he might be working his character in you. You might be seeing the fruits of all the things he's doing in you and through you and changing your character and all those things. But you will never, until you see him face to face and you are changed, you will be like him at that time. Until then, you will not. You have a foretaste. But if you've ever been to the point where you've been in his presence and realized that his holiness, how other he is, how different he is, how way beyond us he is. You'll realize it's off. Rabbi Shaul, Paul, Apostle Paul, apparently had this revelation and understanding, because he said, all my righteousness is like filthy rags. An understanding of the holiness of God, because it was just doesn't matter how good you think you are, or the good things that are happening that you do, or whatever you find yourself doing because of the work he's done in you. It's all well and good. Thank him for it. It doesn't come close. It doesn't even make a scratch. So anyway, there's this idea that we can somehow get the virtue signaling that happens. And I saw an older group of, I think they were Brethren, Church of the Brethren, maybe possibly, or something, what they were, that they met at the local Target or something, and they did a demonstration against the president. And there was like 15 or 20 of them there, and this one lady was reading off something from a script about something. I don't know if they were doing some kind of fussy control thing. I don't know what it was. And I'm looking at it. I'm just watching this thing. It was on social media, and I'm trying to, like, what? So someone just was recording it with their phone. What are we trying to accomplish here? And what exactly are you saying? I don't understand what your stance is here, and how it's supposed to affect anything. I was driving through the street the other day in a town up in Michigan. And it was in front of a church. And I don't know if the church actually was, if it was a part of the church. They were just on a street corner. They were on the sidewalk. So I don't know. But they were going on. They were, they had the whole colored hair thing and the whole thing going on. And they were all talking. All their signs said stuff like, no more fascism, no more this, no more whatever. Save democracy. On and on and on, all the stuff that I wanted to just, because I was on a busy street, I couldn't really stop. But I just wanted to stop and roll down my window. Well, push the buttons on my window and go down. And just start asking them questions like, what are you doing? What are you saying? So what rights have you lost? What's happening to you? Who's being persecuted here? You've got the right to stand on a street corner and spout all this stuff. You wouldn't go to Iran and do that. Go to North Korea and do that. You'll be disappeared there. At this, you think you've got a problem here? Oh well, he silenced Jimmy Kimmel. He didn't do that. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't work for the president. Well, he had a backroom deal with so and so. They appointed some guy who was going to take away their life. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. It's just ridiculous. But now, furthering down this road, this rabbit hole that I'm trying to go down, but I end up on a bunny trail. I'm trying to go down a rabbit hole and end up on a bunny trail. How does that work? A lot of bunny trails that probably lead to rabbit holes. It probably makes common sense, doesn't it? So the question is, how is it that someone can be a Christian and have apparently firm beliefs, the same as my beliefs, supposedly, and yet be so far, in my opinion, off on political matters? Now, hear me out on this.
Oh, now, how do you say, why do you say, why do you think the Republican Party is the godly party?
Well, let's just look at a few issues here. What are some major platforms of the Democrat Party? Major, like throw a fit, throw a riot kind of demonstration. What are they out there, in the streets, pounding at the tables? Almost every day. That they will mention it. What's one of the big ones that they are so concerned about? women's reproductive rights. Now, that sounds, well, that sounds like something that we should be for. We should be for women's reproductive rights. Well, we should be. If they want to reproduce. The problem is, this is not a right to reproduce. This is right to end the reproduction. This is a supposed right that would stop a life from happening. Now, they have to have a fundamental belief. In my opinion, I don't think you could live with yourself as a Christian if you knew that child had a future that God had intended for them. And that is a human being. There is a soul there. I wrote a song recently in the first verse is something that always kind of hits me really hard sometimes. I can listen to the song 100 times, and once in a while it just hits me really hard. The first verse goes, before a single word was spoken, before the world had drawn its breath, you knew my name, you knew my story. And held my life inside your chest. I have a little bit of an understanding of what that is like, because I'm not a parent, but if you have ever been a parent, I've had parents, and it has always kind of been a mystery to me, a wonderful mystery, as to how they must have looked at me and wondered or thought or hoped for my future. How God looks at us that way. He has plans for us, for good things. We follow the path that he has for us. Oh, they may not be easy, but they will be good. I'm sure it's tough being a parent sometimes, having to steer your children in the right direction. Especially when they make very bad choices. But you don't give up on them. You don't give up on your kids. People just don't. And that's just the goodness of God. In a small way, we have an example of that in human nature. That's who he's made us to be. And yet, someone who is a Christian, they won't talk about it much, but they can sit back and allow that to be a part of a party that they fully endorse. Well, they'll say, well, I'm an independent, but they vote every time they vote, it's Democrat. And they make the same comments about, they all the talking points of the Democrat Party, they're right down in line with everything that they're saying. How is that possible? Well, that's just one issue in the Democrat Party. If we go back through the history of things, I wish Elena was here to talk about his as a historian, but we have the difficult part of this, the interesting, difficult part of this, things about war, believe it or not. Most wars have either been started or perpetuated by the Democrat Party, by Democrat presidents. Now, well, Bush, too, was kind of a problem. He had a lot of military action that was, I would say, questionable. It's a tongue-in-cheek thing. Iraq, we never should have gone into Iraq, my opinion. That's just my opinion. If we're going to do it, we need to do it right. That's the other side of it. And this is, I think, where things are going with Iran, is that we don't want to do things. You know, it's either going to be done or it's over. It's just, you know, we're either going to, if we're going to do it, it's going to be done right. It's kind of one of those things. So that's kind of where I'm at with a lot of this. It's just a very difficult subject, because how do these people, how do they go there? Okay, here's another issue that's very big. The Democrat Party, on the left and leftists, Gaza. Where they're talking about things that are going on there. Now, do I think that everything that Israel's doing is squeaky clean and everything's great? No, I don't. I really don't. They are a nation of people who make mistakes, and I think that there's... I think there's a lot of desperation that they act out of that is misplaced. Now, at the same time, you get this the idea that they want to... I mean, I hear Christians doing this. From the river to the sea, that whole thing. They want to see Israel wiped out. They want to see Israel lose their statehood over there. That's or a two-state solution, whatever it is that they want to do over there. It's just, it's very bizarre. That's one of those things I hold very loosely. Let's just see what God does with that. But I just don't understand how they go so far into this whole thing. Now, the other side of it is, at the same time, and this is where the contradiction comes in, it's huge. They're all for trans rights. Now, all kinds of, here's, let me just go back a second. Just let's put a broader label on this. They support and are willing to say that they're all about it. And yet there are so many morality issues. Things that I think the Bible is clear on, the immorality of certain things. And how you can stand in those principles, on the principles of something else that's totally founded on that. I just don't get it. And they will argue all day long until they're red in the face on this stuff. Now, here's the interesting thing how this goes. I'm not going to confront them. When I see that on social media, I think most people who are believers and who are understanding of what goes on in the left, you don't dare challenge them. And I see people occasionally challenging everybody they see on Facebook with, you know, they're the keyboard warriors that are out there, you know, good for them. They'll get out there and they'll start to get in their face and argue back with them. And of course, the first time you do, especially if it's on their page, and I don't think they realize how they're isolating themselves, but there's this one person who was in my high school she was probably 3 or 4 years younger than me, as a sister to a guy that was in my class, which is funny. He's, because I know he's a Republican. I know he's at least, he's a believer and he's in line with, he's not a staunch Republican, but he's pretty much in line with me politically, I think, but he's pretty close. And his sister is way off on the deep end. Way off. Like every day posting, that's 95% of what she posts is political stuff. And it's anti-Trump, it's anti this, anti that. Anti-religion to some degree. But she claims she believes in God, and yet anything that has to do with Jesus or the Christian church, she's not very friendly with that. But she just constantly going on with this stuff. And of course, anybody who posts anything opposing on her page, what ends up happening, this happens all the time. If you ever tried this, you've probably experienced it. The flying monkeys come out. And they all attack you. Everybody that listens to the stuff she posts all the time, all of her friends, it only takes 4 or 5 of them. They all come out and they defend her and they defend what she said and they all attack, they just jump on you and attack. And they won't attack you with facts. They'll just attack you with all kinds of names. Name calling, all kinds of things. Oh, you're a racist. Whatever it is. The problem with that is you can approach them with facts. You can say, well, this is the document. This is actually what happened. What you're saying didn't, you know, that's not true. This is what actually happened. You will be attacked. You'll be called names. You'll be called everything under the book or in the book or whatever it is, around the book, through the book. So this goes on and on and on. And I call them the flying monkeys. They come out from who knows where. You know where that term comes from. So that happens, and it's just very frustrating. You only do it a couple times, and then you learn your lesson. And so it's on social media, you realize it's not a winning battle. These people sit behind their computers on their keyboards, and they can say all kinds of rude and crude things that they wouldn't say to your face. So people just don't say anything, and I'm not going to get involved. I hardly even get on Facebook anymore because it's just all the rhetoric and all the crap. I can't stand it. I just can't. When I see people from my high school friends of mine that post the most ridiculous things politically, yeah, they're sometimes just ridiculous, but they're so deceived. It's so distressing to see it. I just can't stand it anymore. Now, what happens, excuse me, sorry, let me clear my throat in your ear there, but what ends up happening is that these people, they put themselves in a silo. They get out there, they put their political views out there, and they get real, you know, it's a virtue signaling portrayal thing. It's not real. They're trying to justify something that's a deep-seated problem in their own heart. But that's my opinion anyway. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. But this is what happens in this whole process. And it's frustrating. Here's the bottom line. This is where I'm going with this. In my opinion, the bottom line is this is a failure of the church. If these people are believers, and the church is actually preaching the gospel. Now, you can pick things out of the Bible you can preach about, but there's more of a, if it's all it is a social justice message, if that's all you're getting out of Scripture, if that's the only message that's coming across your pulpit, you are being deceived in big ways. And unfortunately, that is where most, well, a lot of the, I'll call it out, the Anabaptist movement is very much the Mennonites, the Church of the Brethren, Mennonite Church, the Amish, even the, well, the Amish, not so much. They got their own, they got other issues. But the, yeah, it's a subject I didn't really want to dive too deep into today, just because it's not something you want to cover on a one-hour podcast. But it's I just felt like it needed to be said at this point, and I don't know how else to. So what is the how do we respond to this? How do we react to this? How do we function in this, or how do we move forward with this kind of thing happening? Do we just ignore it and go on? Well, it's a spiritual battle that we're dealing with. The first thing is we fall to our knees and we start praying for our brothers who are being, just have blinders on. I don't know any other way to say it. There are some things that are true about what they're saying. At the same time, if you take part of the truth, much like Satan did when he was trying to tempt Jesus, you take part of the truth and throw it into somebody's, you know, throw it out there because you're trying to deceive someone. That's what they've received. They've received this idea that yeah, that's true. So I'm gonna go, yeah, that's true. So I'm gonna go down that road. All the while, they're being distracted. They don't really see the truth of what's happening in front of them, right in front of them. Because, again, by and large, most of the folks on the left, especially the extreme leftists, they have no ability to introspect. They have no ability to self-examine, to be self-aware. There is that segment of our population who just is unable to do that, and part of it is just because they don't want to face who they are. Reality of their own depravity. They cloak that with their, well, I feel so righteously indignant about this. I must be a good person. I'm one of the good people. I'm one of the good white people, or good whatever it is you are. All the time, all the while, they're just deceiving themselves. Self-deception is a real thing. And if you're not keeping your self on the cross, take up your cross, die to yourself, and follow me. It's a lot of things there. In that little statement, that we seem to want to ignore. Your cross is not some social justice. Mission that you're on. It has more to do about yourself, laying yourself down and understanding and picking up, you know, picking up the truth. So that's where I'm at with that. Well, that's I'm sorry to have such a heavy deal here going on this morning, but this is something that I think that it troubles me. It troubles a lot of people, and we don't know how to respond to it. I think the first thing we have to do is fall to our knees and just start praying for, you know, interceding and understanding that we've got to find a way to communicate the truth to these people, and they need to be, you know, they need to have their eyes open. These are brothers and sisters. These are people that are supposedly believers. And I think that the world looks, the world of unbelievers look at this whole thing and just they're like, well, what is going on here? What is this? I'm getting two conflicting things from this thing they call the church. So that's where that's at. I have we're just gonna take a break and we're gonna talk about what's gonna be on tomorrow's show. There's not gonna be a tomorrow's show. Really. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's the news.
news according to me. Oh, it's the news, the news according to me. It's the news,
it's the news
according to me. Oh, it's the news,
it's the news,
it's the news,
it's the news, yeah,
according to me.
Morning.
It's the news,
it's the news
according to me. It's the news according to me.
It's the news. Hey, tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow's show probably not going to happen. Friday's show probably going to happen. That's my guess. It's going to happen. There might be a show. I might have a show tomorrow. There's a 5% chance, much like the chance of rain. I think if there's a, it could happen. Let's just put it that way. I don't know what it'll be about. It'll probably be something silly. It probably won't be a long show if there is one. The podcaster app thing is so close to being online as a sellable instrument. I would think by the end of next week, that thing should be done. Now, I'll talk about next week's show. We have Monday. There will most likely be a show. However, I'm not positive because I might be moving my boat that day. So it's very possible there won't be a show. I might try to record one over the weekend. Tuesday, probably be a show. Wednesday, probably be a show. Wednesday, I don't know if there's going to be a show on Wednesday. I don't know. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with all my rhetoric. In the meantime, I will see you.